Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking about food today with two professional chefs. Keith Rhodes, owner and chef at the popular Wilmington seafood restaurant Catch, is with us today, as well as Simon Arnold of Seasoned and Seared, a local private dining club. Welcome back, both of you.
Nice to be here.
You're invited to join the discussion. If you have a question or a recipe idea, give us a call, 910-343-1138. You can also send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And Simon, I just want to wrap up what we were talking about. Keith, you said that the technique Simon was talking about, cooking a turkey basically in a pot of water in a Ziploc bag, is called...
Well, it was called sous vide. And I think that when he was just talking about the turkey... you know, taking those legs off so they would be tender and moist, as opposed to roasting the whole turkey together.
Yeah, we get those, it doesn't make any sense.
You know, we get those areas where this is a little more dried out and that kind of thing.
Because they're two completely different cuts. They're two different meats altogether. Right. They've got different – you got to treat them differently.
And I think that that's a great approach to that turkey. So prioritizing, making sure that you get that turkey in immediately. Then what's the next thing that's going to take a long time that you could be doing something else?
And, do everything that you can in advance, clean as you go.
One of the things I found that was really cool about these meals, especially when we're the chefs and I feel like I'm obligated to cook this meal for everyone, something in the last few years that I've done is just break out in stations. You know, like Simon says, okay, I've got to get the turkey on, or I've got to get the pig on the grill, you know. So now I've got more guests coming in, or I got my kids. Hey, I want you to go over here and roll these crab spring rolls. Hey, I'd like for you to make the mixed beverage, you know.
And so you get everybody involved.
And it's a lighter load, and everybody's contributing to it. Again, it's the holidays. Everybody, and it's a fun thing. It's not labor intensive. Think about your menu design for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of us are getting – not everyone's in a grand home where we have three refrigerators, three ovens, and those kind of things. So what can last really good at room temperature where we can lay this buffet out? You know, not everybody has chafers and hot warmers and all of that, where we can have some things at room temperature that can go for an hour or two where people can constantly graze and have a good time.
Yeah, that's really the big thing. It's just having fun. I mean, what's the point of having
a holiday? Have a couple of snacks, some nuts and fruit and those kind of things to take the edge off.
So get a bourbon.
And let's go ahead and take our first phone call. Stephen, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Quick question. I don't know who to direct this to, so I figure whoever might have this information. Part of my holiday cooking, specifically Christmas Eve, involves making ravioli. And I make it by hand. Sometimes the dough does not stand up well in boiling water. Sometimes it does, and I can't figure out what I do differently that makes this happen.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. This is Simon Arnold of Seasoned and Seared.
Hi.
Yes,
what's your pasta dough?
I use semolina wheat.
Okay. What's your ratio eggs or egg yolk to flour?
One egg to a cup.
Try this next time you make your dough. I've done this since forever, and I've never, ever, ever had a problem. I do equal weight by weight. Almost always I measure by weight.
Okay.
But equal egg yolk to flour by weight. A tablespoon or so, or a teaspoon, or just a little bit of oil. Oil will help with elasticity in your dough, and salt. You need to put salt in there.
Right.
Go ahead and... go through the dough making process like you normally would. Let it rest. You must let your dough rest for at least an hour. And then from there, you can roll it out. I think you'll probably have better results. I have pretty great results, you know, every time.
I'm sorry. It's yolk to flour ratio?
It's 1:1. 1:1 ratio
one.
By weight. Yeah. So I use exactly the same amount of yolk that I would use.
As flour.
Yes.
Stephen,
One pound of flour, 1 pound of yolk.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Stephen, is this kind of an improv for you every year? Do you just do it by feel, or do you have a recipe that you follow?
Well, I do have my own recipe that I've used, but I've varied the amounts of flour that I've used based on how many people are coming. Okay. So my ratio must have been off in some cases.
And it's okay if you have extra dough left. You can stick that in your freezer and pull
it
out, let it thaw in your refrigerator, and re-roll it later on if you have a party. Also, when you say it doesn't hold up, does that mean that it's just disintegrating in the water, or is the filling coming out?
Well, both. It opens up and the filling comes out.
Okay. You might not be sealing your ravioli well enough.
I have a press that I put it on, and I rolled the rolling pin over it, so I feel that it does, but maybe not.
I've used those presses before and have had varied results like that. Okay. Your press might not. I don't know. Keith's kind of shaky.
Keith, do you do it by hand when you seal them?
Yeah, and I think that probably using a little bit of egg wash or something like that to seal it. I think that Simon touched on it. One of the things immediately when you said your recipe was the lack of oil. You've got to have a little bit of oil, and that makes it a little more flexible so it's not as stiff and like he says, just disintegrates in the water.
Yeah.
So a tablespoon of oil to a cup of flour?
Well, that might be a little too much oil for a batch that small.
Yeah, I would think a teaspoon or something like that. But use a really great oil. And, again, just remember egg and flour by weight.
Yeah, okay. Always All by right. weight. Yeah, more exact that way.
All right, Stephen, very hope that
Thank
was helpful.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you guys. Thanks.
You too. Thanks for calling. And we have Alexis from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question for Keith. I'm going to a book club this evening, as a matter of fact. I've got a 4-week-out shoulder replacement, and most of the people are vegan, and I'm not. So what can I take that I can make simply?
That's a great question. Vegan, not vegetarian, but
what?
Vegan.
Well, all three, actually. There are some that still, eat meat, but...
You have a food processor?
No.
Well, I tell you what, something that would just... I just think if you didn't want to make it, well, you want to make something or you just want to pick up something? And I just tell you something that's just really good right now. Hummus.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, we always have hummus.
You say you always have hummus.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. And they're all.
Can I tell you an idea I have, but I don't know how to. You know how you use that phyllo dough?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's too late for that. I wouldn't be comfortable doing it.
Well,
but because I've never used it before.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to take shrimp and kale. Not shrimp, spinach and kale Greek yogurt dip from one of the stores.
Okay, so grab that. If you go to Harris Teeter in the frozen food section back by the desserts, mm-hmm. they have these little phyllo dough, like tartlet shells.
Right.
They're already like pre-cooked off. So yeah, you got to do is just fill them like that, put them on a pan, and heat them up for a few minutes. That might work for you.
I can vouch for those. Super simple.
Yeah, and they still have that really flaky like crust. You get a whole bunch of them in a box, and they're only for a few dollars. So that might suffice right there.
Hey, Alexis,
you think Greek yogurt would hold up?
I definitely do.
Is Greek yogurt vegan?
It would not be because it's dairy, isn't it?
Yeah. Can I throw an idea?
I'll get two of them. I'll get the meat eaters and the vegetarian.
Well,
come on.
Simon's got something for you.
So this is a really simple, this is a really simple idea. It's pretty inexpensive. And it's delicious. Like, I can't express to you how good it is. You'll just have to try it. So, get a head of white cabbage.
Okay.
Turn on your oven to high broil.
What do you mean when you say light cabbage?
White.
As in not green or red.
Yeah. The most basic.
Okay.
Yeah, not like Napa cabbage, but like the really condensed cabbage head. Okay, so get that.
Yeah.
Cut it into wedges.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it in your broiler. Salt it. Throw it into your broiler. And when it comes out, drizzle white truffle oil on it. And if you have any like chili threads or chili flakes, put that on there as well. The truffle oil and that roasted cabbage flavor – it's so simple and it's so delicious that I mean, the first time I tried it, I could not believe how good it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's an idea.
Is that helpful, Alexis?
That was extremely helpful. Thank you so much.
Good. Thanks
Happy
so
holidays.
Much for calling in. All right. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about holiday food, the inspiration, the challenges, hints from professional chefs. Joining us in studio today, chefs Keith Rhodes and Simon Arnold. If you have a question for our chefs, give us a call at 910-343-1138. Send an email to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at Coastline HQR. Now, I have to ask about the old-fashioned holiday staples here, like the green bean casserole. Is that something that you guys would ever do? You know, the green beans with the gloppy condensed mushroom, cream of mushroom soup, and the French's onions that, you know, the crumbly things that have a shelf life of infinity in the grocery store. Would you ever do that? Would someone ever find that on your table?
Never.
No.
Okay.
No. Now, the components.
Absolutely.
Probably.
Components. Yeah.
You know, some sauteed shallots, some haricot couvert, maybe some sliced shiitake mushrooms or something like that. But it's just taking that same thing, but just.
Using real food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And for us, and I think that my family's palates can really dig the freshness, the crispness of the beans and things like that to offset all of the heavy processed canned Campbell's mushroom soup, these breaded onion thingies. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think there's an overall satisfaction that we get from scratch made food today when we're living in such a convenient type of time where time is of the essence.
And do you think that your family's palate changed, Keith Rhodes, as you grew as a chef? Or is that has your whole family just been born with the food gene?
Well, no. The food gene wasn't inherent. I think that our palate changed just like the American palate has changed. Mm. For so many years, we were only exposed to limited amounts of cuisine, whether it was just Southern or New England or California.
French. That was like the thing for so long.
And now look at what we call New American cuisine. Mm-hmm. And so we have an influx of food and that inspires all of us. And so, our food has really changed a lot. But I think that one thing that we really gravitated towards as I got into my 20s was a fresher, more cleaner type of food as opposed to a lot of the food that we kind of grew up eating, which was like heavy Southern, low country, gravies and heavy sauces and things like that. And I know early in my career, we had already begun to move away from demi-glaces and heavy things like that. You would never find that on my menus now, and you probably wouldn't have in the last 15 years because our style and our approach is a lot different than that.
I would like to just – this is totally, you know, my opinionated. I love a good demi-glaze. Like, I love making a stock is probably one of my favorite things to do.
What's a filet without good demi-glaze?
Right?
Okay, wait a minute. Demi-glaze, for those of us who are not chefs, you're talking about a sweet kind of glaze No? Okay,
so
tell me what it is.
Demi-glaze is basically, so you take your stock and then you reduce. You reduce. And when you reduce, you're evaporating water. And as you evaporate water, you condense your flavors, and you also get a thicker product at the end.
And you're wondering, what are we reducing? Roasted bones.
Pretty much, yeah. So and vegetable
matter and things like that. Yeah, so it could be chicken. It could be veal. It could be beef. Any of those type of things.
Fish.
Yeah, any of those type of bones, you know. Most of the time, a demi-glace is of a roasted color. So it takes on more of a darker kind of color. Chicken would be a little bit more darker, golden tan, caramel kind of look to it. And our veal and beefs are definitely a lot
like
brown.
Raisin. Yeah, they look like a raisin.
But, I mean, on a good steak, I mean, that was the demi-glaces was the original A1.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, beef is no good without it.
Now, I have a coworker who says that she's afraid to cook a prime rib because, as we know, they're so expensive, so there's no wiggle room.
Okay.
If you screw that up, that's
a
big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge loss, yeah.
Right. So what would you say to people who would love to put a giant prime rib on the holiday?
Sous vide that thing. Sous vide it. I cannot express how – I mean, it's an old technique. I mean, under vacuum is the – that's what sous vide means in French. And it's been around for a really long time. Only lately have with the emergence of emergent circulators and vacuum sealer chambers and all this stuff have people that term molecular gastronomy, which I can't stand that. But
we heard that.
Yeah. You get temperature control, so you can set your water bath in your, you know, lobster pot or whatever on your stove to whatever temperature you want your internal temperature of your meat or product to come to, put it in the bag with herbs, butter, or whatever kind of fat, suck the air out of it, seal it, throw it in the bath, and then just let it sit. And it's great because, one, you're not going to overcook it. Two, all that flavor is staying inside of that bag, so it's going to absorb a lot of butter flavors, a lot of the herbs or whatever you put in there. So when you pull it out, you've got it perfectly cooked. And there's always generally a finishing step, which in this case would be searing it to get that good Maillard reaction, that super crispy caramelization or whatever.
So would you sear it then in a pan?
Yeah, I'd sear it in a pan afterward and then let it rest and slice it. And you've got perfect roast.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect roast.
And Keith, is there an alternative?
I'm just going to go a traditional kind of way. I worked in a restaurant where we did prime rib like every Sundays, and it was very, you never want to see it again.
I
would rather have my ribeye sliced raw, pan seared, and eaten mm-hmm. as a steak mm-hmm. as opposed to a slow roasted prime rib. But anyway, you know, a hunter doesn't go to hunt a deer and figure he's going to jump the deer and choke him. You know, he has his necessary equipment to go out and to pursue that game. And so that's the same way we should be when we are thinking about our attack on the food and the recipe. So an internal meat thermometer would be essential mm-hmm. in this particular case for the home cook or the novice. So we get our prime rib, which is about as long as a forearm and probably as wide as a football. Preferably when you get that prime rib, have the bone in. That bone tends to impart more flavor. Of that beefy mm-hmm. flavor. And normally there's a fat cap on the top. So we're going to just kind of slice a half inch of that fat cap. We're going to pull it all the way over the whole length of the beef. Season it really hard with chopped garlic, salt, and pepper. Put that cap back on the top of it.
Really? Like so that. You season yeah, like it and then and put the treat fat, it like
because
a sandwich.
That fat is going to baste it, kind of that kind of deal. Put that thermometer in the middle, in the center of that. Put it on a roasting pan in the oven. We're thinking at about 2 hours at 350 degrees. We're looking for an internal temperature of about 140. We still want it pretty rare. So when we pull it out, it's going to still continue to cook some. And I would let it go just like that. And I think that, you know, you can see the temperature as it rises. You'll get that. When you do it slow at that particular temperature, you'll get a nice browning effect on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage you to give it a try. I mean, yeah.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about holiday food, the inspirations, the challenges, hints from professional chefs Keith Rhodes and Simon Arnold. If you have a question for our chefs, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using coastlinehqr. Gentlemen, have either of you ever gotten such a creative idea about a dish and then you've executed it, and it comes out the way you expected it to, but when you taste it, it's sort of uninspiring. Is there a difference between, say, art on a plate and a really yummy, satisfying dish?
Well, I'd say that more than anything, the most important thing about your food is that it has to taste good. That's like the number one thing. And if you want to get – if you have the technical ability or the know-how to get super creative with it, by all means, go for that. But you never really want to get into a situation where you're taking away from the product that you're using. I mean, we were talking before the show about, you know, getting great produce or whatever from farms and whatever. You don't want to Alice Water said the best thing you can do to a great piece of a fantastic vegetable is to just let it do its thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've had creative ideas where I'm like, whoa, what if I do all this? And then the flavors are fine, but the texture is weird or the temperature is not right. So those are the big pitfalls.
And the center would have been better if you just let it be what it is.
Or whatever.
Like,
yeah.
Let it be the turnip.
Yeah.
Yes. Be the turnip.
Be the turnip.
You're listening to Coastline. It's our holiday trough. Professional chefs are sharing their ideas on holiday menus, what you need to know to successfully host that family dinner. If you have a question for Keith Rhodes of Catch or Simon Arnold of Seasoned and Seared, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. We'll be back in about 90 seconds. You're listening to Coastline.